Welcome to podcast number 25 of Practical Wisdom from ACP Financial Advisory, a program about creating and operating a successful, comprehensive financial planning practice. We're a presentation of the Alliance of Comprehensive Planners, known as ACP, a community of tax-focused financial advisors operating under a unique retainer-based fiduciary business model. I'm your host, Ken Robinson. On our show today, focusing on the big picture with ACP President Sheila Padden. The great majority of the attention in the financial planning industry is on investments. For many consumers, investments have a something-for-nothing kind of appeal. When investments go up, the investor may feel like they won. But we all know that's not the whole story. The CFP Board describes investment planning as one of eight principal topics that a certified financial planner certificate must be skilled in. So, how do you get the whole picture of a client's financial situation? And how do you give them the right advice? Our guest today is Sheila Padden, CPA, CFP, founder of Padden Financial Planning with offices in Chicago. Sheila made the transition from CPA to holistic financial planning, becoming a CFP certificate and founding Padden Financial Planning LLC in 2012. In 2018, she became a Kinder Institute registered life planner, and she currently serves as ACP's board president. Sheila, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Ken. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So tell us a little bit about your journey from CPA to financial planner.
Well, I had been doing our own personal financial planning for our household, and I got to a point where I felt like as a CPA, I should know all this, and it should be something that comes easily and that I should have a body of knowledge about, but I really didn't. So that just became more and more obvious to me as time went on. And then I started working with a neighbor on a small business, and then it became obvious from their situation that we weren't the only people feeling like we needed more guidance. And so I went back to school. I went to the Northwestern Certified Financial Planning Program and I got my CFP, and then I did an internship. And then I was faced with, what do I do now? You know, how do I work in the industry? And at the time, that was in 2012 and 2013, it was not easy to become a fiduciary comprehensive financial planner. It was mainly sales organizations that were hiring even CFPs as agents that they were expected to sell. And so, you know, I did several interviews with big banks and brokerage firms, and that's the situation I was going to find myself in. And fortunately, I went to a NAPFA conference and met someone there who contacted me later and said, you should join ACP because they're doing exactly what you say you want to do. And that is absolutely the case.
So that's worked out well for you, that decision to become a part of ACP.
Oh, it's worked out beautifully. It just is such an amazing group. I could never have gotten started on my own. I mean, they walked me through every step of going from getting into business to actually doing the work and getting clients. It was just so wonderful. It's such a tight-knit community and a generous community and a smart community. I am fortunate to be part of it.
So when we talk with other ACP members about the value of being a part of this community, we invariably hear that the most valuable thing is the people, it's the community. And that seems so hard to really pin down. What is it we're talking about? And for me, I think it has to do with shared professional values and what we believe is important in financial planning. What is it for you, Sheila?
Well, that's absolutely the case. You know, a shared philosophy. So it starts with that, right? And so having a shared philosophy, finding like your tribe. So that really worked for me. And then ACP helped me get started, you know, through their training, which is fantastic. So it takes it from the classroom, the CFP classroom, to the practice. How do you actually do comprehensive, holistic financial planning? And so that's what I learned through ACP training, and then fine-tuned it by the generosity of ACP members who invited me into their practices and let me sit in on their meetings to show me how it's done. also watching videos of practitioners, ACP practitioners, doing the meeting so that I would watch them over and over and over. How do I do this work efficiently, effectively? And so that really got me started. And I have to say that I will never forget that. And it really made me the planner I am today.
You're talking about the training videos and part of the as a part of the success program that demonstrate, here's how you hold a meeting on insurance. Here's how you hold a meeting on portfolio analysis. Here's how you hold a meeting on tax planning.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Because, you know, ultimately it's about not just knowing the material, but being able to deliver the material in a way where the clients will feel comfortable and they will take appropriate action, either on their own or with your help.
Yeah, I found that one of the big challenges I had as I was joining the profession around the year 2000 is that, much as you say, it was focused so much on sales and on investments, and even in the fee-only practices that I was discovering, they were focused on investments almost to the exclusion of other subjects. What was your experience like as you began a practice where you'd be advising on more than just investments?
Well, it was very worthwhile from the very start, and it just seemed like the natural way to practice because it is personal financial planning. We're talking about the person. So first, getting to know the person. So the person is my client, not their money. So starting with that, you know, what is near and dear to the client? And so first, getting to know them so that their money can be the grease for the wheels so that they can live their most fulfilled lives. It's not just about the money. So, you know, starting with that and then going from there really is I think, a method that really works and allows people to live their best lives and live with ease.
You talk in your ADV part two about providing advice on investments as a part of the financial planning process. And it sounds like for a lot of people, that's just not the highest priority necessarily. It depends on what's going on with them.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yes. So first, understanding each client's situation, I mean, not in just a surface level, but really in depth so that the money can be put to work in a way that really makes sense. So for example, do they want to retire early? Do they want to pay for college for their children or their grandchildren? You know, how much of a nest egg do they need to feel comfortable? You know, what is their money personality? Are they natural savers or natural spenders? Are they motivated by greed or fear? I mean, these are very, very important issues, along with, you know, what is their childhood memory of money? You know, these things that are really, you know, embedded deep within us. And until you really understand what makes a person tick, it's hard to do the right job for them with their money and other aspects of their financial lives.
It sort of doesn't matter what we see the statistics tell us about the efficient frontier if we don't really know the client that we're serving.
That's right. You know, I really firmly believe that. And so after a few years in practice, I went back and got some more training in life planning through the Kinder Institute. And I didn't just decide to do that. I did it because in my experience working with clients, the goals part was so important to all the work we were doing that I went back and decided that I needed more training in life planning because it's a very, very deep dive into what is really at a person's heart core. And I think that once I was trained, once I was more skilled in that, then I think really discovering who my clients are was much better. And so then I could do a better job for them.
We've talked before on the podcast about the Kinder Institute's registered life planner designation and how for a lot of advisors, there's an additional benefit that they can provide their clients with that understanding. But I think it's fair to say that what we learn in ACP more generally, even without that Kinder Institute education, is a respect for life planning and that the money is not the end. The money is a tool to accomplish something that's more important than money. How easily do you find a new client understands that? Or does it take a little conditioning to get them to realize, oh, I thought it was all about the money, but it's about what the money's supposed to do for me? Is that easy for clients to get or not so easy?
I feel like it's a broad spectrum. I mean, some clients just love the fact that we're going to start with talking about them. They just absolutely love it, right? And other clients, really, it's avoidance. They don't want to do life planning. Do I have to be life plan? Do we have to go into goals visualization? You know, do we have to really get to these tender moments? So with people who really are not comfortable, then we start in other areas. So over time, you get to know the client. So it's baby steps. I mean, ultimately, you will know each other because personal financial planning is quite personal. And so, you know, often people hold their cards close to the vest before they really know you. So my experience is over time in the type of practices that we have at ACP, you do really know each other. And so it ends up being a situation where you can do your best work because you do really know the client and what would be a fulfilling life for them.
I've often found myself saying things like, well, for a lot of people, we'd say that we'd take this approach, but based on what I know about you, you won't be comfortable with that. So here's another approach that will get you closer to your goals that it might not fit another household, but man, it fits you guys just great. And sometimes that helps us to find the parts of the financial plan that really benefit the client, but that a traditional investment heavy focus might not reveal. What do you think are some of the places where you've added value that other planners might have missed?
I think the real value I bring in what I tell prospective clients is looking at the big picture, bringing it all together. I mean, anyone who's lived any amount of time, I mean, there's things here and there and everywhere, and bringing it all together, just in that in and of itself brings great comfort. And so then you have a better idea of what needs to be done, what's already in place, you know, and then are you on the right path or not? So I think that is something that's not just unique to me, but it's, I'd say ACP excels at that. So if you like doing that, bringing things together, and I think clients really, really like that, I think that, you know, ACP is a really good fit. And so then beyond that, I think the question is, do you want to walk with your client on this journey? And that's something that I feel like I really enjoy doing. So not having a lot of to-dos for the client, but really doing it together during the course of a meeting, either in person or via Zoom. So I have found that that brings great comfort too, because they know when we meet, we get something done. They don't just end up with a long, long laundry list of things that they have to do. So I think the ACP approach really fosters that, because it's not create a big plan and then hand it off to the client to do. You are working on it together. So you're like walking with them. So I think a lot of people really want that. Not that they like need hand holding per se, because they're not confident or capable, but because this body of knowledge is not that straightforward. It's always changing. And so you've got an expert who's with you on the journey. So I think that that's really a lot of the value add. And then on top of that, the goals focus, really trying to know the person. So I'd say those are the three things.
The expertise that you mentioned brings to mind a comment from our colleague, Britta Kepf, of Tranquil Path Financial Planning, who has compared our role to that of a primary care physician, that we are the ones who are able to bring together a variety of different kinds of financial health for the client for their overall financial well-being. And sometimes it's about just pointing the client in the right direction. Other times I think it is making that phone call with them and saying, as I did with a client just last week, you know, what you really need is to increase your umbrella liability coverage. We have time. Let's just get on the phone together to your insurance provider and find out how much it costs to raise your coverage to this level. And by the time we were done with that conversation of about 5 or 10 minutes, they were delighted that we'd realize there's this gap in their financial situation that no amount of investment advice was going to fill in, but that a very small additional insurance premium took care of, and it was handled. It's those kinds of things that I think the investing heavy approach can miss, and that I was really glad that, you know, there was a model out there in ACP to help me understand how to deliver it. We got a lot of book learning from the CFP education. And then there's the question of how do you actually convey that value to clients. On your website, you talk about getting investment advice from one person and your insurance advice from somebody else and tax advice from another person and estate planning advice from somebody else. And I always think of the client being at the center of a wheel with a lot of different spokes, and they're trying to see, you know, is everything working together? And I don't think there's anybody else other than planners who work like us who will stand shoulder to shoulder with the client and say, everything looks pretty good. Let's adjust this one thing over here, and your whole picture will make sense, and it will all be working together, and none of it working at cross purposes. Do you find that when clients come to you, there's often a lot of coordination to do to get different parts of the plan to stop fighting each other?
Yes, absolutely. That's a big, big part of the work that we do. That first, knowing what is in place, and then secondly, eliminating anything that could be duplicative or anything that could be working against each other. And just, you know, doing it as low cost as you can, you know, getting out of, you know, high cost products into something that's really more reasonably priced and maybe a better fit too. So that's really important. And I think that, you know, clients really see that. And I think clients appreciate seeing us actually doing the work together. So let's take, for example, I-bonds. You know, there was that frenzy when the rates went up to 9.62% last year. And so then, you know, I'd been doing I-bond ladders with clients for not everyone, but, you know, people that where it was appropriate for a long, long time. But then actually helping them buy the I-bonds on their own through a screen share, an in-person meeting, just navigating that site, which anyone who's been on Treasury Direct, it is not the easiest site. It's not intuitive. You know, doing that with them. And so then that's developing them too. So now the client feels more confident in what they have in place, understanding their investments, you know, where things are located. So it's not just a big black hole. So I think that over time, you know, moving the needle on clients feeling confident and comfortable with their investments, their insurance, you know, their cash flows, like everything, because they see us doing the work, they see how it is done. And not that they necessarily want to do it on their own, some people might, but a lot of people see the complexity and how things are always changing, and they really want somebody walking the journey with mm-hmm. them.
Yeah. Yeah. I think about how many of our clients are certainly intelligent enough to handle all this on their own, but they prefer to spend their time on other things. And it's worth it to them to have our help so they don't have to become experts in something that they could learn about, but maybe they'd rather be gardening or painting or doing something else to, you know, just enjoy their lives.
Well, I am your classic do-it-yourselfer, because when I first got started in this, you know, I was, you know, driving our financial ship. And, you know, I realized that, you know, I really didn't know enough as a CPA. I didn't know enough, and I thought I should or could or wanted to, but I really didn't. And what I learned through the CFP exam work was like, this is a big body of knowledge that you have to stay constantly up to date on. And then it became my full-time job, you know, because it is a full-time job. So I do think that it's hard to be a do-it-yourselfer. Not that, you know, you can't be really diligent about it, but I think it's more the acts of omission, things that you didn't realize that there was a change in, or you didn't have a full understanding of. Not to scare people. I'm not a scare tactics kind of person, but I do think that if you really want to live with ease and live your best life, then is this really who you are? And is this really, like you said, Ken, what you want to do with your time? It's what I want to do with my time. I can tell you that I love personal financial planning. Anyone who knows me knows that. And you probably have seen that too, Ken. Like, I really do love the work we do.
Yeah, absolutely. I share that feeling. I was trying to decide, you know, do I want to start scaling back my practice? And I happen to have a conversation with somebody who, you know, casually just asked me, oh, you're a financial planner. Do you mind if I ask you this? And I realized how enthusiastically I was answering their question. And I thought, I absolutely should not be retiring. I'm still having way too much fun with this. And I do think about the things that people certainly could do for themselves, but they turn to us for exactly the kind of expertise that the Certified Financial Planner curriculum teaches us to be ready to deliver to clients. And yet so many practices are set up to focus on a piece that's maybe easier to do in certain ways, to focus on the investment piece, where a lot of people find added value. But I do think a lot of our clients come to us because they're saying, I don't know what I don't know. So that's why I need you, Sheila. That's why I need you, Ken. And certainly, there are many advisors in addition to ACP members who provide those kinds of comprehensive plans and help their clients through them the same way we do. But I think to answer the question, who is a good fit for ACP? It's someone who really cares about delivering that comprehensive plan, or as I like to call it, holistic plan, where you have a process for making sure that you're covering all the bases, that you're getting the, you know, the bird's eye view, and that none of the pieces are working in conflict with the others, or that you're at least making a conscious decision about, well, maybe we'll spend more in income tax this year so that we can spend less for each of the next 6 years, and we'll get the investments in the position we want them to be in at the same time.
That's an excellent point. And certainly the tax planning is a big part of it, which is, you know, very closely aligned with, you know, investments and investment planning, but not just saving taxes this year or next year, but looking way down the road. So that is really an important part of what we do as well.
So we've been talking a lot about ACP, and of course, the point of the entire podcast series is to help advisors understand better who ACP is and whether ACP might be a good fit for them. And you're our board president this year. What's ahead for ACP?
Well, we are working off of a 5-year strategic plan. So it's not just the flavor of the month, the flavor of this year's board, but really we are, you know, we have a plan in place. It's not like it can never change or be tweaked. It certainly has been and is continuing to be a living, breathing document. But we are operating under a plan, and the absolute number one priority right now is to improve the training. So I did mention the training as such an important part of my experience when I first joined ACP. And so just bringing it more up to date and also delivering it to different types of advisors who are joining ACP. So from additional members in firm who are not opening up their own practice, but they're coming in as a second advisor, third or fourth or fifth advisor to a multi-advisor firm. You know, also a track that would be for someone who's brand new to the industry, a track for someone who perhaps is transitioning from a tax practice. So they are self-employed already. They have a business entity already formed. They already do some of the components of comprehensive financial planning, like taxes and tax planning, but they want to incorporate the rest of comprehensive financial planning. So how can we really fine-tune our training so there's a track for each type of advisor who is looking at ACP? So that's what we're in the middle of doing right now. It's a really big job, and there's so much energy behind it. We've got several people working on it, and we're very excited with how it's going so far.
That's exciting to me as someone who used to be involved in the training process, delivering group instruction as people were completing their education to become certified members of ACP. And it makes me think about what we suggest to people who are not sure whether or not they want to join. And one of the things we suggest is come to our annual conference, and you'll leave the conference knowing whether or not this is the group that you say, I cannot imagine doing this without these people as a part of my life. And I've pondered that over the years to try to figure out, what is it? It's not about education. It's not about intelligence. It's not about experience. All those things are there. But I think what it's really about are values, that it's important to us to deliver financial planning this way. And if it's important to someone who is transitioning their practice or starting their practice or trying to improve it, that's a really good way to discover if we have shared values. And it's also a good way to discover, you know, maybe somebody wants to take their business in a different direction, but spending time with other people who are practicing this way, I think, is a really effective way to figure out, is this the group that I belong to? I remember when I joined, I felt like I had found the family reunion just with people I'd never met.
That's a good way of putting it. And I felt the same way. I mean, you certainly said it better than I've ever said it. And that is absolutely the case. My first conference was in Detroit. And everyone was so generous and so welcoming. And there was a situation where there was a financial planner, an ACP planner, who had passed away. And it was like a wake for this planner. I mean, such close relationships, you know, so much tenderness. I thought, I have to be part of this group. They care for each other so much and their clients so much. And they're not ducking out to play golf, and they're not ducking out, you know, they're just like getting the continuing ed, but not really sitting through the sessions, living, breathing financial planning and being there for each other. So I thought, I have got to join this group.
And I think about the kind of guidance I've benefited from over the years, which for me started out as, you know, what do I include in a recommendation on investments? What do I include in a meeting on tax planning? And over time, there were answers to other questions like, how do I go about raising my fees? Not how high the fees should be, that's up to me, but how do I have that conversation with clients? And I found, as I'd been told over and over, that you will have fewer clients object to your higher fees than you imagine, and many more than you might anticipate who will just say, sounds good, where do I sign? How do I adjust my deliverables to match what clients expect now compared to what clients might have expected 5 or 10 years ago? I've been in practice long enough to see clients who used to want more meetings, now they want fewer meetings on average. And what's changed in the outside world to make that happen? That's not important. What's important is to know how to change what we're doing to deliver the same value and to make ourselves as useful to the client as we can and as we always have, but to meet the world that's changing around them so that they can continue to sleep well at night.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ken, it's interesting that you mentioned, you know, adjusting your fees. So I'm in the middle of that process right now. And I can tell you that I've reached out to several ACP members, probably you included, on advice as to how to do it. And I listened to a podcast from one of our colleagues on how she did it. And so it's been so helpful and reassuring in terms of having these conversations with clients. You know, what did this advisor do? What did that advisor do? What is Sheila going to do? How am I going to handle it? What's right for me? We're all self-employed, but we run our practices in the way that each of us sees that's fit a good fit for us. So, you know, I leaned on the ACP community when I was facing this myself, and I'm in the middle of it. So far, I've had every client where I've talked about fee changes say, absolutely, you are worth more than this. You have been undercharging for years. So I have to say, I should have done it sooner, you know, but it's been a really good experience. And like you said, Ken, like that's what our colleagues have been saying.
Yeah, I've never heard an ACP member say, yeah, I tried to raise my fees and I regret it. I've always heard people say, the only thing I regret is not doing it sooner. So as one of our colleagues used to say, that if we're offering a premium service, we shouldn't be charging a discounted rate. And the question, I think, boils down to, are we adding the value? And our clients see the value. And I know in my case, it was ACP that taught me how to convey that to a client. It may seem easy to us because we're the experts and we say, oh, all we did was rebalance their portfolio. But that's Greek to so many of our clients. And when we solve that problem for them, they may feel like we're miracle workers. We may feel like it was easy. That just means we have the expertise to know how to do that. And of course, they value that. Well, Sheila, it's been such a delight having you join us. Thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you, Ken. It's been a pleasure being here. And I've enjoyed every minute of our conversation.
You've been listening to Sheila Padden, CPA, CFP, founder of Padden Financial Planning, LLC, with offices in Chicago. There's a link to Padden Financial Planning's website in our show notes. This is podcast number 25 of Practical Wisdom from ACP Financial Advisors from the Alliance of Comprehensive Planners. ACP is a community of financial advisors offering truly comprehensive advice under a unique fee-only retainer model. For more than 25 years, ACP has trained advisors in the philosophy, practices, and tools of a comprehensive process rooted in the uncompromising values of fiduciary, fee-only planning. Our members are pioneers and innovators who together have perfected a unique retainer-based, tax-focused, comprehensive approach providing a distinct alternative in the financial planning marketplace. ACP offers a lower-cost associate membership for those who want to learn and apply ACP's methodology prior to becoming certified members. For more information, call 910-769-1569 or visit acplanners.org.